Jericho was indeed a mighty fortress. It was the largest of the fortified cities that the Israelite army would face. We find that there were two walls surrounding the city of Jericho. The outer wall was 2 meters thick. That's about 6.5 feet. The inner wall that you see at the top was 4 meters thick. That was about 13 feet thick. This is an artist's drawing of what they would think the city of Jericho would have actually looked like during its time before the walls came tumbling down. So as you can see, attacking this city with the weaponry of the day would have been a very difficult task. It would have been a task for the most prepared soldier. The Israelite army was not a group of prepared soldiers at that time. This would have been their first battle. So you can see it would have been an overwhelming challenge at best. And can you imagine the look on the soldiers' faces when they were told how they are going to attack this city? Joshua, are you crazy? We're just going to walk around these outer walls one time a day for 6 days, and then 7 times on the 7th day? This is 20 feet of wall here. How are we going to get through that just by simply walking around it? Well, we will be the laughingstock of all who hear about this. And you know, when they started doing this, I imagine they were a laughingstock to the soldiers of Jericho. But yet they did it. They marched around the walls of the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days, and 7 times on the 7th day. They did it that way because that was what God told them to do. You know, God expects His people to be victorious in life. The Bible records many victories of God's people throughout the pages of inspiration, both as individual Christians and as a corporate body of believers. Children of God can expect victory in anything if they are willing to do it the way God said do it. Now, there is no doubt in my mind that if these soldiers had not followed God's instructions in walking around the city once a day and 7 times on the 7th day, those walls would not have fallen and Jericho would not have been taken. But they did obey Him. And the message for us today is this: we need to obey God as well, and then we can expect victory in anything in our lives. In fact, John tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Our faith makes us victorious in God. It gives us the ability. It gives us everything that we need to be victorious in life if we will only do things God's way. Now the question is, how does our faith enable us to have that kind of victory? You know, you and I are in a war today. We face sin and Satan every day of our lives. We are definitely in this war. How can we help our faith along so that we can win this victory? I believe that we can find the answer through this study of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. First of all, I want to suggest to you that the Israelites were victorious. Joshua was victorious because he was ready to listen to the word of God. You know, back in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 14, when Joshua realized that the man standing before him with the sword in his hand was the commander of the Lord's army, he fell on his face to the ground in reverence, and he asked him, What message does the Lord have for his servant? He wanted to know what God had to say. He was ready to listen to the things that God had to tell him. And I want to suggest to you this morning, church, that Joshua was victorious at Jericho because he listened intently to God's word. And I want to suggest to you that this same message is for you and me today. You know, we have been promised a victory that overcomes the world. We sing that song a lot, Faith is the Victory. And the final words of that song, it is the victory that has overcome the world. And we have it. We have the victory that has overcome the world, and we have it within us. It is indeed our faith. So the question now is, how do we get that faith? How can we develop that kind of faith that will give us this ultimate victory? Well, Paul tells us, Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. It is our avenue to victory. It is our faith, and it comes from God's word. Not man's word, not man's ideas, not man's creeds, not man's thoughts on how he should obey God, but he listens to God and obeys God. There are many scriptures that bear this out. Jeremiah 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that a man's life is not his own. It is not within man to direct his own steps. And basically what Jeremiah is telling us is, we do not have the wisdom or the intelligence, for that matter, to do it by ourselves. So many people believe that we do. And so many people believe God's word because they believe they can do it better on their own. Jeremiah says, no, you can't. It is not within you to direct your own path. You need to follow someone who knows where he's going and knows where you need to go. And that, of course, is God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, he said, and he was speaking to Satan here, and he said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He is letting Satan know who he is going to follow, who he is going to listen to. And it's the same message for us today. It is God that we listen to. Matthew 15 and verse 9, Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And we see it happening all around us today. And obviously it has always been this way. Men have always had the idea that I can do it just a little bit better than God can. And they attempt to do so, and as a result, they literally make a mess of things. And then Peter tells us in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, in speaking to the Sanhedrin council, he said, we must obey God rather than men. This is our duty. If we want to develop that faith, if we want to have the faith that gives us the victory that overcomes the world, we are going to have to listen to what God has to say. Paul admonishes us, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And friends, you can't do that unless you put your head in the book. Unless you put God's word into your mind, into your soul, and live it every day of your life, you will never obtain this victory. Sometimes this is a real problem. Sometimes we wanting to live victoriously, but yet we're not willing to listen to what God has to say. Because it is God's words, folks, that will get us into heaven. It will not be our words or our neighbor's words. It just cannot be done. So if you want this victory, if you want to succeed, you need to listen to what God has to say. Next, Joshua learned that victory has two parts. Notice in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2, the angel of the Lord says to Joshua, see, God has given you Jericho. He has done exactly what he said he will do. You know, this goes all the way back to Abraham, doesn't it? I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I am going to give you something that is great. I am going to give you the land of Canaan. I am going to give you the promised land. And there it is, Joshua, it's yours. Now, that's God's part. God's grace to Joshua was the gift of Jericho. The Israelites have now been given Jericho. But then in verse 3, he begins telling Joshua that there are some things that he has to do. There are some things that the Israelites have to do in order to have Jericho. And this is man's part. And we need to understand that today. God, folks, has given you eternal life. It is yours. You don't have to face spiritual death because God has given you spiritual eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that make everybody in here happy? But you know, we've got to do something to obtain it. Even though God has given it to us, there is still something on our part that has to happen before we get it. Paul describes this two-part process in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. He said, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Okay, now we have an idea of where salvation really comes from, don't we? It comes from the grace of God. And that's God's part, that we are saved through grace. We are not saved through works, but we were created for works. Now, there's a different thing there. We're not saved by the works that we do, but at the same time, we are expected to have works because God commands that we work through Him. Through our faith, we will carry out our works to receive the grace of God, which is eternal salvation. Faith, that's man's part. So we can understand that, like Joshua, our victory comes two ways. It comes from the grace of God, and it comes through the faith that we entail within ourselves that causes our works to appear. Victory also demands obedience without murmuring. Yesterday, we were on our way to Yoder's, and Henson took care of the back row of our traverse going. Is Henson here? I'm fixing to talk about him. And he kept saying, "Ain't we there yet? How much more is this going to take? When are we going to get there?" And I said, "Do I hear whining on that back row? I have an ejection button for that third seat. I'm going to have to push that button." Well, on the way back, I was complaining about something, and Henson said, "Am I going to have to push that button?" Victory demand. We got back, though, didn't we, Henson? We did, yeah. Victory demands obedience without murmuring. Now, I want you to know, I know that I have just disrupted so many lives in this room right now, because what is one of our favorite things to do? And I did it yesterday. I murmured. I complained. I had murmuring come up to me when I got there, and I had murmuring when I got home. And it's just something we do, isn't it? It's just something that we do. Even though God gave Joshua and the Israelites the city, there was something that they had to do. And they had to do it without murmuring. First of all, they had to cross the Jordan River. Now, you know, these Israelites, it wasn't there when they crossed the Red Sea. But they'd heard about it, no doubt, that God parted the Red Sea so that they could go across. Except for Joshua and Caleb, the rest of them had never seen that. So now they're going to cross the Jordan in the very same way. But they had to literally, even though God's going to part the waters for them, dry the ground for them, they've still got to cross it themselves. He's not going to put them in a bus and drive them across. They was going to have to march around the city once a day for 6 days. Well, like I said, that's probably sounded ridiculous to them. But that's what they were going to have to do. And I'm going to tell you, Jericho is a big place. Probably far, far bigger than Albany, Georgia. Can you imagine walking around Albany, Georgia every day for 6 days? I'm not talking about downtown. I'm talking about Albany. That'd be kind of a task, wouldn't it? And then do it 7 times the last day. But they had to do it. Then they were to blow on the ram's horns and they were to shout loudly. And they had to do it in that sequence, in the way that God commanded for it to be done. And then they could enter the city and take it. So, see, Joshua, I have given you Jericho. That's what the Lord said. But there is still something that they had to do. Now, what if Joshua had not obeyed God by faith? What if those people had complained and said, I'm not going to do that. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I'm going to take my sword and I'm going home. Well, those walls would not have fallen, would they? And Jericho would not have been taken. The Hebrew writer tells us, if we want victory, if we want to please God, we're going to have to do it His way. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, we can go back and we can read that chapter 11 of Hebrews and take note of what faith did for so many people. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, when we think about that story, we know what happened to Abel, don't we? Cain killed him. But Abel did something Cain did not do. He pleased God because he did it the right way. It was by faith that Enoch walked with God, and because he walked with God, he did not see death. By faith, Noah built an ark to save his family, and the only reason that worked is because he built the ark in the fashion that God said build it. And it's probably not done that way in Kentucky. Have y'all seen the ark in Kentucky? I know some of you have. It's probably not like the one Noah built. Because I don't know that they did it God's way. But we know that Noah did it God's way. And it worked. By faith, Abraham, he left his home when God said, I want you to pack up your tents, pack up your animals, pack up everything you got, and go somewhere, and I'll tell you when you get there. Who would do that today? Who would get in their car and drive when God said, get in your car and drive, and when you've driven far enough, I'll tell you to stop? That would be a hard thing to do, wouldn't it? But he did it. And not only that, he followed God's command and offered his son Isaac up as a sacrifice, believing that God would somehow fulfill his promise of making him a great nation, even though Isaac was the only avenue by which Abraham could do that. But yet he obeyed through his faith. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused that because even though all the pleasures and the passions of sin that went with it, he turned all of that down because he wanted to follow God. And by faith, the children of Israel went through that Red Sea. And by the same token, through faith, they crossed that River Jordan, didn't they? Absolutely. And by faith, those walls came tumbling down because they did it the way God said, do it. And the same thing is true today. Our faith will bring us in obedience to God. Our faith in God's word living it in our daily lives will give us far greater blessings than what the person sitting next to you can give you, or the person across the street, or the person down the road. Because God blesses His people when they obey Him. And we need to know that. So, victory demands obedience, willful obedience, and not complaining about it. Because all these things that we've talked about, they had a right to complain, or in their own minds, they could have had a right to complain. But they didn't. And then finally, we must expect victory. Israel went around that city once every day, and on the seventh day they went around it seven times. They blew their horns and they shouted, and them walls came down flat, just as the scripture said. And you know what? They expected that. They had God's word on that. Now, these people had dealt with God many times in the past, and they knew that God meant what He said, and they knew that God would do exactly what He said He was going to do. They had no reason to doubt Him by walking around that city of Jericho. And they trusted Him, and they did exactly as the Lord commanded. Now, in verse 20, it says, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets." That was God's plan, wasn't it? "And it happened that when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Amen. They did it God's way, and look what they got. They got the city of Jericho, the first step of the land of Canaan. Now you tell me this. Do you think Joshua and the children of Israel were surprised when those walls came tumbling down? No. They weren't surprised at all, because they knew their God. They knew that God would do what He said He would do. Now let me ask you this. And every one of us will go through this. When we close our eyes for the last time, and our life comes to an end, the last thing on your mind should be, "When my eyes open up again, and God is there." Do you believe that? Do you have the kind of faith that lets you know that your eyes will open again? That God is going to raise you from the dead? That if you are His child, that God is going to say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord." Do you believe that? Have you lived your life with the kind of faith that will bring you to this point? And when you close your eyes for the last time, will you know that you have done it the way God said do it? Something to think about, isn't it? Yeah. Remember, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. I tell you this morning, my friends, God has a promised land for you. And it is far, far greater than the promised land that He gave to the children of Israel. It is His home. It is in heaven where He is. And He wants you to be there with Him. And if you are a faithful child of God today, then you can expect that victory. You can expect God to welcome you into His home if you have that kind of faith. This morning, if you're not a child of God, I can tell you it can still be yours. If you will come to the Lord today in faith, knowing who He is, knowing what Jesus did for you, giving your life to Him through obedience to the gospel of Christ, you can have that same promise and you can have that same victory. And if you sit here this morning and you're unfaithful to God, you've lost this, but you can have it back. If you are willing to confess your sins and turn from them and to come to Jesus again, you can still have that victory. Why? Because God said so. And that's all it takes. So this morning, let's learn from Joshua. If we do things the way God said do it, look what we have to look forward to. If you need to respond this morning, please come while we stand and sing this song.